Galatians chapter 6, beginning at verse 6. Paul writes to the Galatian church and he says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh, from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are of the household of faith." So I want to get super practical this morning. And I want us to each take an honest appraisal. An honest appraisal of your own life. And with that, I want you to do a couple things. Think of your own life. Don't think of the neighbor that's sitting by you. Or, man, I wish Aunt Sally was here today, because Aunt Sally really needs to hear from the Lord on this issue. Maybe she does, but typically I found out when God speaks, he usually talks to me and doesn't talk to me about Aunt Sally. So let's kind of make it personal and say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to learn from your word today? What is it that your Holy Spirit is speaking to me? And here's the third thing. Don't beat yourself up when you take that honest appraisal. And I don't think God's word produces guilt. I think it produces conviction. And conviction reminds me that I'm a work in progress, that God is still working in my life. And he loves me right where I'm at, but he loves me so much he doesn't want me to stay there. And so that's my challenge to you. Leave room for his grace and his mercy. But let's think of our lives. Think of your life as a harvest. For those of you that aren't farmers, that's the stuff that's out in the field. So think about that. And so you've poured into this. You've cultivated. You've done everything. You've pray for the rains. You can quit praying for those, by the way. Yeah. But you've done that, and it's time to harvest. Are you happy with the harvest? Are you satisfied? I thought about that question this week, and I'm like, okay, how do I answer? If I'm going to ask that, I need to answer that question. Yes? No? This place? Yeah, I'm pretty satisfied. This place, I still need some work. This need some work, but are you satisfied? Are you saying, man, this is the harvest that I had hoped for? Now there's a lot of things in life we can't control, but you know what we can control? We can control the seed that we put in the ground. I heard a saying about farming this week, and it says, if what you have is not what you need, the problem isn't with the harvest, it's with your seed. Yeah. Wow. And think about that. Farmers spend good money, and they will go to a reputable seed company because they know that particular seed, they've done research on that seed, and they say, this seed will work. This seed will get you through the drought. It will get you through this. I've seen some of the seed up in the Midwest, and I think they can throw that on concrete, and that thing would grow based on whatever they've done. But what we need, and I'll tell you what we do, I think, is faulty, is sometimes we focus so much on the harvest. We forget that there's not a lot of control there. The control is back at the seed. And so I need to go back to the seed. Now Paul says this in verse 7, Galatians 6. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, he will also reap." In other words, Paul says, God's not going to be made a fool of. Right? It doesn't work that way. In other words, Paul's saying, look, God has put this ordered system out there. And if we violate it, consequences of violating that. We can also expect blessing by following his principles. Let me give you four laws of sowing and reaping. If you're a gardener, you're a master gardener, we actually have one of those. If you're a farmer, you probably already know these things, but I mean, you guys just chill out. These are for the rest of the people. Let me give you four laws. One, you reap what you sow. You go out there and you put corn in your field, what do you expect to come up?
Corn.
Yes. Popcorn? Well, maybe in Florida. Arizona, for sure. You reap what you sow. Whatever you put in the ground, that's what's going to come up. Here's a second law. You reap more than you sow. Right? You put one corn kernel in the ground, you don't get one corn kernel up. You usually get, what, two heads? Is that right, Dean? You're the Illinois farmer there. You reap more than you sow. Hosea says this. For they sow to the wind, and they will reap the whirlwind. You reap more than you sow. So if you want more of something, put more in the ground. Sow more of that kind of seed. Third, so not only do you reap more, but you reap in proportion to what you sow. You go out and you scatter a little bit of seed, you get a little bit of crop. Unless you're Dean and you throw tomato seed out there and it just grows all over the place and didn't even cage them or anything. But
yeah.
I'm not upset about that, Dean. You reap in proportion to what you sow. Fourth one, you reap in a different season. Sometimes, maybe you've done this one where you're like, man, God, I've been doing the things that you say to do. I've been doing this all day. And my marriage didn't turn around today. Or this problem didn't change. Okay? So you reap in a different season. So you and I are sowing seed today that's going to reap tomorrow. Or the next day, or next year, or 10 years from now. That's what we do with our children, right? We sow into their lives. And there's that Bible verse that says, and when he is old, he will not go away. And somebody told me the key to that verse is when he is old.
Yeah.
But we have great kids, by the way. We really do. Paul continues in verse 8, and he says, the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Melinda, you disappeared on me. Kenneth, do you know how to run that? I have a diagram that's going to help us. It will come up here in a little bit here. To understand what Paul is saying here. One, two, three, four, and there it is. Okay, right here. All right. All of us have five areas of life: psychological, spiritual, physical, social, financial. Some of you have opted into the last two are volunteer areas of our life: marital and parental. And every one of those areas in life, we have problems, we have needs, we have questions that arise. And in there, we need to make a decision: are we going to make it by the flesh, the self-life, or we've got to make it after the Spirit, Christ-like working out in us. And there's consequences and there's results on how we make that decision. Now, before I was a pastor, I was a counselor. And people would come in, and what they want to talk about is the harvest. And I would say, okay, the harvest is kind of a symptom of the problem. We need to back up. We need to look at the decision. Not only do we need to look at the decision, but how and why are you making those decisions? Are you making decisions after the flesh? Or are you making them after the Spirit? And one of the things I've noticed is a lot of times people would come in and they never considered what God had to say about a particular area in their life. I mean, have you ever said this or you heard somebody say, man, I wish life came with instructions? it comes with instructions. And the thing would be is, am I applying those instructions? Am I listening to them? Now, I'll tell you a little bit of my story. For many years, especially as a young Christian, I really liked the idea of going to heaven. How many of you like that idea of going to heaven? Yeah, everybody likes that idea. There's relatively few people other than like AC/DC that like the idea of going to hell. But in general, people like that. But here was my thing. I was convinced that Christianity in many ways was like a bunch of hard things that I didn't want to do. Like I wanted to go to heaven, but there was a whole list of things that I didn't want to do. I thought there were things that would drag me down, and some of them I would do because, well, I want to go to heaven, and I love God, and sometimes we do things that we don't want to do because, you know, we love someone. But somewhere in there was like an absence of joy, you know, where I made Christianity something other than what Jesus said it was. Because he said, I came that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. So here's what I want to do. I want to walk through, and I can do it in any of those areas because I've messed them all up to one degree or another. And sometimes we're good at things because we messed them up. And we can explain how to not mess them up to someone else. But I'll just pick one of them. I'll pick one that I really messed up and one that I think God is blessing me in right now. So I'll just go through the financial area. Any problems, needs, questions, decisions. So before Barb and I met, I had like $40,000+ in debt. And I didn't own a home or anything like that. This was just all kinds of, you know, fun debt. And by the way, this is my story, so if you're in debt here, like, well, why is he thinking that this applies to me? You can apply whatever you want to your own life. This is my honest appraisal. This is what I did. This is what God did in my life. But at one point in time, I had 4 credit cards that were maxed out, you know, where like if you brought it and put it down on the counter, they would say thank you and take it, and you wouldn't get that back. I had 2 car payments, I had a school loan, I had a consolidation loan, and the really cool thing about a consolidation loan is it lowers it so you can even get more credit. It's, that's a joke, don't do that. You won't like it, it doesn't feel good, there's nothing good about doing that, so don't ever, is it enough evers? Don't ever do that. And in that, during that whole time, I gave very little to the work of God. I mean, tithe. That's crazy. I mean, maybe I toss a buck in or something. And, because I'm thinking, oh, I can't even make these other payments. How can I, you know, do whatever God wants to do with this money? And once a week, I would, don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've got these phone calls. You get a phone call from a creditor, and they say, hey, you know, you owe us money. Oh, okay, yeah. I already knew that. And then you get the letters that say something like, hey, this is serious. You really owe us money. Yeah. And then you get another letter that says, this is very, very, very serious. You really, really owe us money. And I think there's like 2 other letters you get after that. But one night, and this is weird, because you can tell me if this ever happened to you. I had a creditor call me on the phone. And they're saying that, hey, you know, here's what's going to happen if you don't pay. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I will pay you. I'll pay you everything that I owe. And the person could tell that I was somewhat upset. And the person said, can I pray for you? I don't know. That's really weird. Did anybody ever have a creditor call and ask to pray with you?
No.
Okay. Maybe just weird things happen to me. But this lady prayed for me over the phone and what have you. And have you ever been in a place in your life where you think, I don't know what the next step is, but I sure don't want to stay where I'm standing right now? Okay, that's where I'm at in that moment. And at that point, I began to confess to God that, you know what, God? I've been considering what you have to say about finances. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing. I've been sowing to the flesh, and I'm reaping this living death right here that's on that diagram. And Lord, I don't know what to do other than I'm going to start looking at your word and saying, okay, what do you say about this? And by your grace and by your help, I'm going to get out of debt. That's my plan. And so here's what I did. And by the way, you know how Paul sometimes says, and the Lord says this, this, and this. And then other times Paul says, I don't say this. Or the Lord doesn't say this, but here's my thought. Okay, so here's what I did. This plan might not work for everyone. It was a little radical. But what I did is I started selling off everything that I didn't think was essential in my life. I thought, I need to get past this point. So I don't need two cars. I'm one driver. I don't need a king-size bed. I don't need new dressers and whatever. So I sold off everything that was in my room, slept on a cot. I don't need this exercise equipment. I don't need a dining room table and chairs. Like I said, this might not be for you if you're in debt. But, I mean, I sat on kind of a couch. Because I sold off a nice-looking couch. But I started selling off these things, television, what have you, just getting rid of anything that I didn't need, that this was extra. If I'm going to serve God, I need to get in the right place here. So I started doing that, and it got me to the place where I could actually pay my bills, where, like, at the end of the month, everybody got, you know, that ridiculous little amount that they want, and so they can charge you forever for the rest of your life. And the process of me starting to do this, I actually got a really good paying job. I thought like I won the lottery. I got a job working on a gas pipeline. And back in the day, I thought I was a millionaire at that point. But here's what I started to do. I started to, when the bills would come in, or I get my first check, I'd pay everybody. I'd give them a portion of the money. And then the next couple checks, I would start saying, okay, these guys are charging me a whatever, 12% interest or whatever ridiculous thing it was. And I would just write out that whole check. And I'd pay that off till they... And then I started to do something that was really crazy. I started to figure out, okay, this is the amount of money. I'm going to give 10% to the church. And I say that in the sense of first few times I put a check in an offering plate. You ever see, I don't remember the Whoopi Goldberg movie, the name of the Whoopi Goldberg movie where she had like $1 million and she gave it. Yes. Yeah. And she's going like this. And, I mean, that's what it felt like. Because it's like, I knew I had enough money that I was paying my bills. But I'm like, this feels like I'm giving away money that I need. And God, I feel like, you know how I like to eat, God. Yeah. How am I going to eat next week if to do this? And it kind of felt like that for quite a while. I mean, several months. I'm okay, God. And this wasn't news to me, by the way. I had a master's degree in Christian ministry. I was living the dream. Working the pipeline with a master's degree. But anyways, I knew what God said. Now, after a while, there was a lady that was going on a missions trip. And she was concerned that she wasn't going to be able to go. And she said, I need this amount of money to be able to go. And that was like the first time in my life where I sat there and I said, I can fund that. And I wrote out that check, and it was weird. I mean, I'm just telling you, this was weird for me. I said, here, I'm going to give this to you on one condition. You never tell anybody who gave you this check. So I gave her that check, and I'm like, that felt really good. That felt really good that God had taken me from a place where I can't sleep at night, I'm stressed out, I'm sick of people calling me on the phone asking for money, I'm looking at letters like, haha, that's funny, and throwing that in the trash, to I could actually partner with God in what he's doing. And if you would have asked me a couple years earlier, I would have said, that's ridiculous. There can't possibly be any joy in me giving away money that I work for. And true story, I went from 40K in debt to 2 years later being debt free. And that's the work of God. Because my heart, I was doing something else. I was living for me. And, you know, a few decades later, I've never looked back. I never looked back and thought, man, I really wish for the good old days. The good old days weren't that good. Now here's a reality. And then, again, that's my story. I mean, you may be in, if you're in debt, I don't know. And you may be in debt for different reasons. I mean, Marvin and I have talked like, man, what would we do if we got hit with, you know, this medical thing or what have you? So I'm not speaking into your life. I'm telling you my story. But here is a reality of sowing and reaping. Many times, if not most of the times, I'm where I'm at because the choice isn't made. Now, and I'll say, let's take one area, the spiritual area of life. I'm as close to God right now. I'm as close to God this day. Well, okay. Maybe closer now. I'm as close to God as I choose to be. Okay? If I'm sowing those seeds, if I'm, you know, seeking God, I'm as close to Him. I'm as close of a relationship as I want. And as you're taking that own evaluation, maybe there's a different area that you're looking at. It's not the harvest. It's the seed. I've got to go back to, what kind of seed am I sowing in the ground? And we need to start by sowing seed after this spirit. Now, let me throw something out there. I'm guessing some of you may be thinking, the laws of sowing and reaping, they don't always work. And I thought that, because how many of you know somebody, you go, man, that's the best person I know. Or that person has done things right in this area, and they're not reaping that harvest. You ever been there? You know good people, and you go, why do bad things always happen to that person? That's a good person. They sown seed. I mean, you could go back to Adam and Eve in the garden and their first kid. They had a kid kill another kid. I don't think it's that God sowed bad seed there. So there are other things that go on. And let me put those out there. And then we'll talk about what do we do when bad things happen when we're doing the right thing. 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25 says this: the sin of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, even those that are not cannot remain hidden. I don't know why Paul wrote it that way, but anyways. So there are things, like there are times where we're sowing good seed, but we're not getting the results we want. Now, let me throw something else in there. You're not the only one sowing seed. Okay? There are other people that are sowing seed into your life, that are sowing seed into your marriage, into your family, to your relationships, all of those things. Jesus himself said this. He tells this story. And he says in Matthew 13, he put another parable before them, saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed what kind of seed? Good seed. So he's saying, you may be out there sowing good seed. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Now that's a real bummer. Isn't that irritating? Here I am. I'm seeking God. I'm walking under the Spirit. I'm sowing good seed into my family, my children, my finances. And we've got this clown over here, and he's sowing weed in there. And so the planters came up. So the plants came up and bore grain, and then the weeds appeared also. So have an enemy. We have an enemy that wants to sow bad seed into our lives. Let me change analogies from seed here for a little bit. Tell me if you have this deal. I have a deal with the trash company. If I have my trash out to the curb on the day that they're going to take trash, they take my trash away. Everybody else have that deal?
Yeah.
Okay, probably same company then. All right. And but let me throw something in there. What if somebody doesn't like me for whatever reason, and they come and they throw trash all over my yard? Right? And that could happen, right? Somebody throws trash all over my yard. That's not my fault, right? I didn't put it there. And here's a reality probably with every single person in here. Something has happened in your life, and it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Somebody hurt you. Somebody did something malicious. Somebody is talking behind your back. Somebody is ugly, okay? Or at least they're being ugly, all right? And it's not your fault, okay? Need to understand that. Now, trash company, do they come and rake up the trash out of my yard and take it away? That's not the deal that I have with them, right? What's the deal? I gather the trash, I put it together, I take it out to the curb. They will take the trash that somebody else has put into my life. They will take that away. But what do I need to do? I need to give it to them. I need to gather that up. I need to surrender that trash to them. Do you know what I need to do with the things that come to my life that are not my fault? Because sometimes I reap a harvest of what somebody else has sown in my life. You know what I need to do? I need to gather that up. And go to God and say, okay, God, here's what's happened. And this person has hurt me. This person has done this, you know, what have you. And God's like, okay, I know. But I need to give that to him. It's the same deal with the trash company. I gather it up and I surrender it to him. And you know what a lot of us do, and I know because I've done it myself. You go out there and somebody sown this bad seed, or they sown trash into your yard, and you go, what is this? This is not my, this, and the whole time you got this whole bag of bad seed, ragweed, and you're just like, this is so irritating, I'm so frustrated, and you go and you tell everyone else, and you tell them how angry, and what have you, and if I already have bad seed in my yard, why would I sow more? You know, and I'm asking myself, I wasn't even asking you guys, but let me give you a recipe. Anybody want to live a miserable life? Okay, just one. I'm going to give you the recipe. So, somebody throws trash in your life, you need to review that offense as often as possible. Just get up in the morning, think about it. You go to bed at night, think about that. Review it again and again and again. And under no circumstances whatsoever do you ever bring that to the cross of Christ and offer forgiveness to that person. Don't ever do that if you want to stay miserable. Remind yourself that everything in your life is because of someone else. All right. So I'm assuming nobody wants to live that way. You know, we want to gather that up. We don't want to react by sowing more bad seed. Let God work that out. Now, here's another reality. You ever have this where you reap good things where you haven't sown? Sometimes that happens. Jesus, again, he said this. For this case, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for what you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. What do we call this? We call this God's grace. We call this his mercy. We experience his generosity and his kindness. We all have those things in our life. I'm pretty good at throwing things, but here's some things that I didn't do in my life. I didn't choose how tall I was, how strong I was, or anything like that. There are certain things that I can look in my life and say, God, you have blessed me to be able to do this kind of thing. When we bought our house in Carthage, Illinois, we had this blessing. We had like this kind of a strawberry field anyways where I think we had a couple hundred plants of strawberries. I didn't plant them. I didn't weed them. 6 years later, I don't know if I weeded them. But I didn't do anything for those strawberries. Somebody else planted them. They came with the house. And you know what? You have things in your life. You didn't do anything for them. God has just given those to you. And you know what we do with that? You know how you sow good seed there? You just say thank you. You say, thank you, God. This isn't anything I can brag about. This isn't anything I've done. This is what you have done. And I thank you for that. And I'm going to be humble about what you're doing in my life. That's sowing good seed. So let's make this personal. Are you satisfied with the harvest? And is there something that needs to change? Now there may be things that you're saying, I have no control. I'm waiting on that wave to come, and when that wave comes, I'll ride it. But let's think about things that I can control. What are things where I can sow good seed? Where is it that God is saying, I want you to sow good seed? Is it in the spiritual area? Is it financially? In the spiritual area, you know, you just ask yourself, okay, am I reading my Bible? Am I staying connected? Am I praying? Am I cultivating that relationship? You know, where am I neglecting things? Worship team, want to come on up, and I'll close. And let me just give you a word of advice. Like I said before, we reap in a different season. So sometimes we're sowing and things don't automatically change. You know what you do in that situation? Keep sowing good seed. You keep sowing good seed. Paul says this, verse 9. He says, let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are the household of faith. You know what really encourages me about that? Because this isn't a magical formula. You notice that formulas don't typically work in your life. That's a reality with me. He says, don't grow weary. What does that tell me? That tells me that there's going to be times that life is hard. And there's going to be time where I'm going to say, God, I'm sowing good seed here. I'm doing everything, but nothing is changing. And God says, don't grow weary. Keep sowing that seed. Keep sowing that seed. I'm still God. I'm still on the throne. And in my time, God's time is not always the same as mine. In my time, you will reap if you do not give up. Let me pray and I'll let these guys play. God, thank you. Thank you for your promises. I pray for those that are weary today, those that are tired. Father God, will you renew their strength today? Will you renew their strength to continue to sow good seed? Lord, may we trust in you. May we believe in you. Give us strength, grace, and wisdom to sow good seed. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.